Welcome to the Deep Dive. We pull insights from, well, stacks of material, really, to help you get properly informed. Today, we're going into something tough, something many of us know firsthand: betrayal. And we're asking this core question: what if the silence after that betrayal? What if it wasn't empty at all? What if something significant was actually happening in that quiet? For you, yes.
Yeah.
But maybe even for the person who betrayed you.
That question really hits home, doesn't it? Because the pain, the sheer weight of betrayal, it's not just about the act itself, is it? It's like an echo of everything the person who betrayed you pretended to be. You know, that feeling sitting there afterwards, just surrounded by shattered trust, and those questions start swirling.
Oh, yeah, those questions that just haunt you. Did I even matter to them? How could they lie like that so easily? Do they feel anything?
Built? Shame.
Anything at all, right? And then there's the really scary one, the one that can just stop you in your tracks.
What if they never cared?
Exactly. That's the deep wound betrayal leaves. So our mission today in this deep dive is to look at what our sources suggest might really be going on behind that indifferent front they put up.
And maybe even more importantly, what kind of transformation, what sacred shift might be happening for you in that silence. We've gathered some pretty compelling insights, stuff from psychology, relational dynamics. It challenges some common ideas.
It really does. So first we'll unpack that immediate aftermath. You know, how the illusions just crumble. Then we'll try to understand the betrayer's inner world, which is often misunderstood. And we'll finish by exploring the powerful, often unexpected transformation that starts inside you.
Okay, let's dig in, because our sources really emphasize this. Betrayal isn't just one single awful moment. It's that lingering echo of the whole picture they painted. You remember the words, the looks, how they seemed, and you bought into it. You believed it.
Mm-hmm. And research, like in attachment theory, backs this up. It suggests you often don't just fall for a simple lie. It's more complex. You fall for their potential. Or maybe the person they convinced you they could be. Sometimes it's the person they mirrored back at you, showing you what you wanted to see.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then the mask slips.
Right. And studies on, say, relational trauma show that when that mask falls, it's not just about them being exposed. It does something inside you. It shatters something.
It makes you question everything,
mm-hmm.
Your own judgment.
Absolutely. You start questioning your worth. Those insidious thoughts creep in. Maybe I wasn't good enough, or maybe I was too much, or how did I not see this coming?
Yes. Trying to make sense of something that feels utterly senseless, you end up blaming yourself.
It's a common coping mechanism, unfortunately. And often, as our material points out, maybe there weren't obvious signs to see, especially when dealing with individuals who have, let's say, strong narcissistic traits. They can be absolute masters of illusion.
How so?
Well, they're incredibly skilled at mirroring what you desire, reflecting back what you seem to need, until they've gotten what they wanted from the situation. And then when they pull away, they don't just break your heart. They often leave you holding the fragments.
And act like they were barely involved. Or twist the story so they look like the wrong party.
Precisely. They rewrite history. Which brings us to the nature of their love. What they offered, according to many clinical observations, wasn't love in the way we understand it. You know, genuine connection, mutual care. It was more like a performance.
It was a performance.
Yeah, carefully staged, rehearsed even, repeated because it got them the attention or validation they crave. Think about the words they used. Often they're recycled lines, not heartfelt sentiments unique to you. They said them because they saw something in you that they needed.
Like what?
Your kindness, maybe?
Yeah.
Your energy, your loyalty, that's a big one. Your sense of peace, even. They see these qualities, know they can't genuinely create them themselves, so they try to, well, possess them through you.
So it's about owning, not connecting.
Exactly. Possession, control. Mm-hmm. And when they felt they couldn't fully control you or the situation, the impulse was often to just destroy it, sabotage it.
So that leads to the manipulation, doesn't it? The stuff simmering under the surface.
Mm-hmm. Our sources call it a lie wrapped in intimacy. It sounds chilling, but it fits. These individuals can be incredibly observant. They study you, learn your deepest fears, your biggest dreams, what sets you off your triggers.
And then they use that knowledge.
Weaponize it, yes.
Go.
Use it as tools for manipulation. But here's a crucial distinction our research makes. It's usually not driven by hatred for you. Often it's more like a projection, a reflection of their own deep, maybe unacknowledged self-loathing.
So my being authentic reminds them of what they lack.
In a way, yes. Your light highlights their shadows. So every compliment might have been bait, every apology. just a tactic to regain control or manage your perception. And then after the damage is done, they often just disappear.
Vanish.
Abandon the mess they made.
And then somehow manage to paint themselves as the victim in the whole thing. It's quite a pattern. Okay, so if that's the dynamic, what are they really feeling underneath it all, in that silence after they leave?
Well, this is where it gets interesting, and maybe unexpected. Our sources suggest that in that silence, where they might have expected you to just fall apart, your own strength starts to surface, maybe quietly at first, but it rises. And maybe, just maybe, that was their biggest fear all along.
Fear. How they just didn't care.
They crave admiration, sure. But research points to something deeper. Their most fundamental need is for control. Your resilience, your strength emerging, that directly challenges their sense of control.
Huh. So beneath the surface, what's there?
Often, according to psychological profiles, not much that's solid or real. It's like a hollow shell, trying desperately to fill itself up with external things.
Like my energy, my loyalty.
Exactly. Your light. And this is important. They don't usually target people they perceive as weak. It's the opposite. They often go for strong, empathetic, compassionate people, people with purpose. You weren't a target because you were flawed. You were likely a target because you shine, because that light gives them a borrowed sense of meaning.
Wow. Okay. So what happens when I walk away, when I create that silence?
That silence can be incredibly powerful. Often it's louder than any fight you ever had. Because it forces them to sit with themselves. And that's the one thing they often can't stand.
There's a term for this, isn't there?
Yes. In psychology, it's related to narcissistic injury. It's like a deep wound to their very fragile ego. It happens when their fantasy world, their inflated sense of self gets punctured, when their narcissistic supply.
Yeah, validation, the attention.
Right. When that supply gets cut off, suddenly they're face to face with that inner emptiness they work so hard to avoid.
So when they seem silent and indifferent.
Yeah.
What do they actually miss? Do they miss me?
Our sources are pretty clear on this. They don't typically miss you, the individual, in the same deep, aching way you might have missed them. What they miss is the control. They miss the effect they had on you, the way you looked at them, the way you lit up. That was their supply.
They miss the reliable forgiveness, the loyalty.
Exactly. The safety of your forgiveness, the security of your loyalty. You were, in a sense, their anchor. Keeping their unstable sense of self somewhat steady. Without you, they're adrift.
So the cold shoulder, the silence, it's not strength.
Rarely. Our research strongly suggests it's fear, deep fear. Fear of being exposed for who they really are, fear of becoming irrelevant, and maybe the biggest fear of you healing, moving on, getting beyond their reach.
So they're living in a kind of quiet panic.
It can manifest that way. Yeah. Knowing deep down they lost something genuine, something real, and knowing they're probably incapable of having that kind of real connection with anyone else, because being real, truly connecting, that requires vulnerability, and that's often their deepest terror.
Even if they look happy online, with someone new.
Appearances can be incredibly deceiving, especially in these cases. Our sources consistently say the underlying emptiness doesn't just vanish. The same patterns tend to repeat. The same destructive cycle plays out. And that same fear trails them. The fear that someday everyone will see through the act just like you did.
So they're not haunted by my absence, but by my survival, my thriving.
That's often closer to the truth. They likely expected you to crumble, to chase them, to beg, to apologize. That would have fed their narrative of power. Your strength disrupts that entirely.
So the deepest wound for them isn't losing me.
It's losing control over you. That's the core vulnerability. The moment you genuinely stop looking for their approval, stop seeking validation from someone incapable of truly giving it.
I become untouchable.
To their manipulation, yes. You become psychologically impervious. And for someone whose identity is built on control, that's the ultimate defeat.
Okay, that shifts the focus entirely. It brings us to the transformation happening for me then. For you, the listener.
Exactly. Because in this light, your silence isn't passive, it's active power. Your distance isn't weakness, it's profound strength. And your healing journey, our sources frame it as this incredible act of self-reclamation, like divine justice almost.
How so?
When you rise above the pain, when you heal, you take back the one thing they were never entitled to in the first place, your inner peace, your sense of self.
All those tears, the sleepless nights, the self-doubt.
None of it was wasted. Research on what's called post-traumatic growth shows this again and again. Those moments, they were refining you, teaching you things you couldn't have learned otherwise, preparing you. The person you're becoming through this, they won't recognize her or him.
And they're not supposed to.
Nope. That version of you, the one who needed their validation or conditional acceptance, that version doesn't exist anymore. You've evolved beyond it.
So how do you rise? How do you move forward in that truth?
Well, the truth doesn't really need defending, does it? Our sources suggest it just reveals itself over time through how you live. You rise by proving to yourself that your gut feeling about your own worth was right all along.
That I was always enough.
Always more than enough. And no betrayal, no lie, no fake love story can ever actually diminish that inherent value. Mm-hmm. It was always there.
So the betrayal didn't break me?
No. Painful as it was, it acted like a catalyst. It exposed you to your own depths, your capacity for real love, your incredible resilience. It didn't end your story. It really just kicked off a much better, more authentic one.
And healing. It's not about forgetting or pretending it didn't hurt, is it?
Absolutely not. That's a key point in therapeutic work around trauma. Healing isn't about numbness. It's about learning to hold the pain, the grief, the anger, without letting it make you hard. It's about remembering what happened, learning from it, but not letting it define who you are now, who you're becoming. You are not the damage they inflicted. You're the strength that emerged from it.
And in doing that, you become unforgettable to them.
Yes, but not in the way you might think. Not with love or longing. It's more like discomfort, a deep, unsettling discomfort for them, because you saw the truth behind their mask. You broke the destructive pattern they rely on. You exposed the illusion they live in. That makes you unforgettable in a way that fundamentally challenges their worldview.
But that's their problem, not mine.
Precisely. That is their burden to carry. Your responsibility now, it's your growth, your peace, your purpose. That's where your focus belongs.
So healing is really about reclaiming myself.
Every part of yourself they tried to take or diminish or control, you are not broken. You are powerfully becoming your light. It won't be dimmed anymore by someone else's issues. You start walking in your truth, not their illusion. In purpose, not just performance. In authentic power, not manufactured fear.
That feels like the real victory.
It is. You simply outgrew them. You outlived the story they tried to write for you. Your very existence, your healing, your refusal to shrink back, it sends a message they can't ignore.
What message?
You didn't break me. You revealed me.
Wow. So you don't just survive the fire.
You transformed in it. Mm. You found your real voice in that awful silence. You rediscovered your worth when they were absent. You forged a new purpose right out of the pain. Your healing creates this imprint, this strength that they can't touch. Because you chose to turn pain into growth, into wisdom, into a reason to stand taller.
And I didn't need their closure, their apology, their permission.
Absolutely not. You might have wanted it, understandably. But you didn't need it to heal or grow. All you truly needed was that moment, that turning point, when you finally definitively chose yourself.
That's the shift.
That's the profound shift. And from there, everything they tried to steal, your joy, your confidence, your voice, you start taking it back piece by piece. And you realize the love you gave. It wasn't the problem. It was a gift. A profound gift they just weren't capable of receiving.
And that clarity becomes power.
It becomes your power. You develop this inner knowing. You're just not available anymore for people who confuse love with possession or control. Mm-hmm. You learn to say that powerful little word. No, you set boundaries. You stand in your truth.
And peace follows.
And inner peace starts to grow, not because they changed, but because you did. The internal storm quiets down. You start accepting yourself deeply.
And this whole journey, it's not just for me.
No, it ripples outward. Your journey from that deep pain to this place of transformation, it becomes like a roadmap, an inspiration for anyone else who's ever felt unseen, unheard, unworthy. Every time you rise, every time you choose yourself, you kind of give permission for others to do the same. It's a quiet but powerful effect.
So my story isn't defined by the betrayal itself.
Not at all. It's defined by your response. Yeah. You chose to rise. You chose to love yourself fiercely. You chose to honor your pain as the very place your power was born. You're rewriting the narrative. From victim to survivor, yes, but even beyond that. From broken to brilliant.
That leaves us on the powerful final thought, doesn't it?
It really does. The true freedom, the real power you gain after going through something like this. It isn't just about getting back what you lost. It's in realizing this unshakable, authentic self that was actually inside you all along. Just waiting to be fully lived, fully expressed.
And that connection.
Yeah.
To your own worth.
That's the victory. That's the one thing no lie, no manipulation, no amount of silence from anyone else can ever truly touch or take away.
I'll take a second chance.
Exactly. Not to get back what was lost, but to finally create what we always meant to be. an unapologetically radiant you, living your truth, not their shadow.